everybody. Welcome to the Dimeback Podcast, brought to you by J. Timothy's Tavern in Plainville, Connecticut, home of the best wings that are also a religious cult that we follow. I am Tyler Wilkinson, and I'm here with Megan Bard. Megan, what's up?
Hello. I'm not Russ Steinberg. There is no Russ.
There is no Russ. It's literally just Megan and I. We're going to try to do another sort of rapid-fire, rapid-response pod like we did with the Joe D. news a few weeks ago, but this time we're obviously touching on the latest revelations in the UConn v. Kevin Ollie saga. So let's start with the deets. So essentially, you know, as we know, UConn fired Kevin Ollie for cause. That cause specifically was not known to us until just this week when it got reported. I guess Susan Herbst, in the latest part of Ollie's appeal process, denied Ollie's request to, I guess, remain the basketball coach.
denied the appeal.
That ship seems to have sailed. But as part of that, they did release the allegations against Ollie. Let's run through these really quick. And I'm just going to go like really fast through these, then we'll dive in. So Kevin Ollie arranged, or at least was present for, a illicit phone call between Ray Allen and a recruit. I guess we got to be careful with saying illicit and Ray Allen, because he's a little too online.
So Jeff Jacobs reported today that recruit was Diallo.
Interesting.
Yes. So that was news to me.
Thanks for nothing, Ray. What the fuck?
Didn't even come here.
What the fuck, Ray? So that was a whole weird thing where they were in someone's basement and the assistant coach made the call, but whatever. Apparently the NCAA considers Ray Allen a booster, which he can't talk to the booster.
So weird to me. Like, you can't have, like, I understand even the booster rule a little bit, but like, when we're talking about literally the most famous player who's ever played for our school, like, they can't talk to a recruit like on the phone one time.
Yeah.
Why is that a violation?
Well, right. And it's also hilarious. I mean, remember how much we celebrated Andre Drummond talking to every recruit in the world like 3 years ago, because he happened to be chilling out at like Hilltop over the summer, whatever it was. So that's one. The other was when James Akinyo was visiting, Kevin Ollie stopped into the gym and shot hoops with him, which his aunt, who's very pleasant, posted on Twitter. The Current covered it, and then UConn self-reported it as a violation. And the reasoning there is also insane, because Akinyo was not medically cleared for college sports. It was
like Kevin Ollie's on his way to lunch in street clothes, and they're just like standing in the gym at the War Center, and they're just like chatting while shooting some baskets. Like, again, how is that even a violation? This is crazy.
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 Crazy. Especially since there's nothing wrong with Akinyo going to E.O. Smith and running a 3-hour like pickup game with everyone on the team. But if Kevin Ollie stops to shoot free throws with him, it's a violation. Okay. And then there's what's probably the most serious, right, is the allegations that Ollie's friend, this guy's named Derek Hamilton, had extra workouts for players and allegedly paid for them to travel. Where was it? In Atlanta, I think, where they went to work out.
Yeah. And also Dave, the other guy, was maybe like had some inappropriate contact with recruits, it seemed. Was that one I read too? Did I make that up?
I believe so. That was what our friend Dave Borges was salty over.
Yeah. And the trip one is the one that's kind of like, because it does seem like there were a lot of like KO's buddies around the program, which in and of itself isn't necessarily a bad thing, but potentially lend to more violations if you're not like super, super careful. Because, you know, and again, I don't even know why these are rules. Like, why do we care if, you know, the assistant in charge of the video like texts with the recruits? Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't understand why this is a thing.
Yeah. Well, so that gets us to like the nuts and bolts of this, right? Which is that these charges are just light. I mean, there's no other way to frame it. They're light.
No.
And
now, can we just discuss the elephant in the disgruntled testimony?
Please.
So there is in all of this 900, however many pages of material that was dumped on, not us, we don't have it, nobody give us anything.
By the way, quick interjection to say good work by The Current. Props where, yep. Props where due. Could have proofread the article that went up on the front page detailing it all. Could have done a little bit of proofreading, but the reporting was very well done.
But that there is a page in there where Glenn Miller, after being fired, is, and after getting immunity from the NCAA, is talking to some, I guess it's some NCAA investigator, and at first says, no, Kevin never gave any inducements to players. Oh, but wait, there was this thing my wife said after I got fired about this one time that she was on a trip where a player's mother started to say that she got 30 grand from Ollie, but like she didn't want to know anything about that. So, and I didn't want to know anything about that. So I didn't hear anything. But my thing about this is if there was any truth to that, or the university had any way to like prove that, which you would think like 30 grand doesn't move from one person to another without it showing up somewhere.
Right.
That would be the first thing in the letter, and it's not in David Benedict's letter outlining the charges against Ollie. Not charges, but whatever. The reasons behind his dismissal.
Let's call him charges. It's more fun that way.
Charges, yeah. I know. He's not under arrest.
Let's get into trouble on this mini pod. Yeah, so the Miller stuff is weird, but again, it's so... clearly not provable to the point where UConn is not citing it.
It does certainly seem like Glenn Miller is still
salty.
Oh,
yeah. He is so jilted, huh?
Salty.
He is.
God.
He is a jilted ex.
It is not a good look, Glenn. It's not cute. You had to go back to his old boyfriend.
Just move on, Glenn. Move on. Get over it, Glenn.
Listen, just like eat, pray, love your life or something. I don't know.
Man, he's just not that into you.
He's keen his car. It's not good.
So Ollie, for his part, and his union representation, which will never not be funny to me, with the AAUP, is
wild. Just for comparison's sake, the kind of stuff that actually is in the collective bargaining agreement that they spell out as just cause are things like neglect of assigned responsibilities, incompetence, insubordination, fraud, sexual harassment, serious misconduct, repeated documented failures to meet generally accepted standards. Like, it's all really serious infractions, usually repeated infractions. So, like, this all seems pretty paltry in comparison.
So his union rep, the argument from him seemed to be more...
And they categorically denied the 30 grand thing. They did say that.
But the overarching theme was more like, come on, this is not a big deal. We all know UConn has let Jim Calhoun get away with worse than this. And they fired Ollie because he sucked. And let's just call it what it is.
I mean, and that's true. Like, they did fire Ollie because he sucked. If he had been winning games, they would not have fired him. Like, there's no question about that. And there's something to UConn got smacked around because of the shit with Jim Calhoun and Nate Miles. And like, the Nate Miles thing was pretty minor. And then it smacked around again with the APR stuff. And that was also kind of stupid. So I can see this was when that language originally was put into the contract, it was under Ward. I can see that, you know, new athletic director who like really wasn't super crazy about hiring KO in the first place, putting in some really strict language and intending it to be more strict than they had previously been. Like, that is fairly justifiable for me considering, you know, what the landscape was.
Mm-hmm.
All that said, I still, you know, assuming the 30 grand thing is not real. If that's real, like, that's the ball game. You know, you can't give a player's mom 30 grand. But if that's not true, assuming that it's not true, I don't think these things are any, you know, this is stupid. And it looks stupid. And everybody knows it's stupid. It's pretext. It's
right. And then, so Kevin released a letter today that was it was very classy. Basically, you know, thanking UConn fans and the university for the opportunity. Say he's going to continue all of his charitable works in the area. Wished Coach Hurley good luck. Said
the last line, oh my god,
I continue to quote bleed blue and wish Coach Hurley and the players all the best as they could be for the next NCAA title. Thank you to all the players, the fans, my brothers in blue, those that have cheered their hearts out for our team. I'm a better person because of you. Aw,
honestly, it just makes me sad. Like, I just wish they were better when he was the coach. That's all. That's all I needed.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because I mean, clearly, like you mentioned UConn Twitter, a bunch of fucking lunatics, and they are clearly, you know, they are so far down the hole of wanting UConn to do well, which is not unreasonable, but that they're willing to overlook like the obvious moral failings of this. Right. But like the way this is playing out is essentially because UConn has been run into the ground by people in that athletic department over the last 20 years. And to be honest, Kevin did not help by fucking sucking the last couple of years, but the only one who's paying consequences for this is Kevin Holley. Like,
and the reality is like, if you had gone after Bob Diaco for the same level of violations, I'm sure you could have come up with something, but they gave that man his money and sent him on his merry way. And like, let's not pretend like what they're saying Kevin did is be shady. Like they're like besmirching his reputation on his way out. This is an alum. This is a guy who won you a national championship as a head coach and as an assistant coach, plus like playing in the team and just like being Kevin Holley. Like it doesn't look good. It just doesn't look good. And it's like a shitty way to treat one of your people. Like, where's your loyalty to the man? Where's your loyalty? Right. And maybe like the reality is, yeah, they don't have $10 million to give the guy. They don't. And I would have preferred that they cut him a nice check that is, you know, more than one, less than $5 million.
Mm-hmm. The irony of hiring a guy like Dan Hurley to prove that you are still a big time institution while at the same time letting this drag out for months and months. Every time a story comes up, everyone's writing, look how obvious it is that UConn is not a big-time institution. You know, like, it's counterproductive. Yeah.
And the other thing about it, too, is, like, you have to be willing to meet the conditions of the contracts that you sign. And I know people are going to be like, whoa, Kevin violated them. And, like, if you want to get really, really technical, yes, but they are incredibly minor violations of the contract as a whole. And really, if any side is not holding up their end of the bargain, it's UConn, which is why when you write these contracts to begin with, you have to assume that the eventualities that you don't want to happen might happen. That's why you write contracts. And instead of just being like, yeah, we'll pay you the whole nut no matter how long you coach, like, don't do that.
Yeah. And we've talked in the past how UConn is maybe turning the corner now, but for a decade just wrote awful, awful contracts.
Maybe just like comes from like not having to hire coaches ever. I guess
they're just out of practice, maybe.
Oh my God.
Back to the sort of technical legal part of it. I mean, you basically touched on it in a sarcastic voice, but the whole like I think UConn's going to win this lawsuit. I think it's pedantic and like on technicalities, but the language of Ali's contract essentially says you can't do any of this shit no matter how minor it is, and then UConn saying we're firing you because of this shit no matter how minor it is. I mean, it does line up. The problem is it just doesn't pass any sort of it does not pass any sort of logical conclusion that you could come to after watching college sports for a year. You know what I mean? So
Right. And here's some interesting from Hurley's contract, just to give you a comparison point. This is all about, you know, it's a condition of your employment that you and your staff will comply with state statutes, including ethics statutes, and with policies, rules, and regulations established by UConn, UConn's athletics conference, and the NCAA, applicable to your staff and your staff's employment at UConn. So, like, all the same stuff. However, if UConn determines that while employed at UConn, you or your staff have committed a material violation, that means something significant, of any of these statutes, policies, rules, and regulations, fail to report them, blah, 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 then you may be subject to discipline. And in addition, discipline will be in proportion to the violation and may include suspension or termination with cause. So, like, none of that's in Ali's contract. There's no middle ground. There's no adhesion. Anything can be one. And I was like, and it's interesting to me that, like, when Hurley got his memo, that shit got fixed.
Yeah, and that's probably Hurley's lawyers being like, oh, let's fix this so you can't do this shit to him.
Right? You have to think. Like, Hurley's got a better lawyer than...
So the thing is, right, I mean, you balance the need to save the money, which for UConn is a giant need because they're very, very poor.
They do not have $10 million sitting around.
Right. But you have to balance that, obviously, with what are the sort of unintended financial consequences of looking like fucking assholes. And I don't know that there are any now that they already have Hurley on board. I mean, if Hurley wins, it's fixed. They could do whatever they want. I mean, like, it's going to tarnish relationships. It's going to ruin Kevin Ollie.
But just fucked.
But, like, I don't know that UConn is going to end up actually paying the PR price. What do you think?
I think the big if there is if Hurley wins. If Hurley doesn't win, and we, like, sent our man out the door with, you know, kicking his ass into the mud to hire this new guy who also then, you know, eats shit, like, I guess we're doomed, really, if Hurley doesn't win.
Yeah, we're regardless at that point.
We're completely fucked.
No one will be around to care.
But we will be pathetic and have no, like, moral fortitude at all in any way as well. We don't even have the high ground there.
I also think, I mean, I don't know how long this Ollie stuff will be resolved, but Susan Herbst is on her way out the door. Yep. My gut tells me David Benedict is not going to be around for, I don't know, let's call it the long term. I don't want to put a number on it, but maybe this all just kind of fades away as Hurley is the only guy left and the people responsible for the decision aren't there anymore. I don't know.
I mean, it's always going to, like, I think, leave a bad taste in the mouth of, you know, a lot of people around the program, and, you know, especially, like, the old school guys, you know, like, because they were really close to the program when Kevin was there. It was really easy to, like, see, you know, Richard Hamilton and Ray Allen and, you know, Boo Willingham on the sidelines constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that obviously isn't going to be there anymore. But I don't know. It just, I feel bad for Kevin, and I wish that people wouldn't read into it as a, like, well, he fucked up, so, you know, fuck that guy. It's like, I wish the people on UConn Twitter were, like, a little bit better people, honestly.
Not a lot of respect for contracts in UConn Twitter, I'll say that much.
Yeah, or just, like, you know, it just makes me sad, because it's not even, like, anyone saying, like, no, Kevin Ollie was a good coach and he deserved to keep his job. Like, he did not deserve to keep his job anymore, and that in and of itself sucks, but, like, to send him out in this fashion,
one person should be the coach of UConn basketball right now, and it's Dan Hurley.
I mean, it's just, it's very distasteful.
Yes, it is very distasteful.
Very distasteful. Yeah, so gauche to be talking about money like this.
Yeah. We're fucking Connecticut. Give us
we
money.
Don't do this.
Give us money. Yeah,
no.
All right, so let's do a quick mailbag question from J. Timothy's Tavern, who's at J. Timothy's in Plainville, Connecticut, who also sponsors this podcast.
And lets us eat their delicious wings.
They do. They ask, which people sites have the worst hot takes on the Ollie thing?
That would be Twitter.com.
Twitter.com. I'm sure.
I have not gone to the Boneyard. I feel like I know what's there. I don't need to go to find out.
Yeah,
it's
exactly
there.
And also a dime back has been pretty bad. Just per usual.
Trash.
My opinion on this hasn't changed. I think I put a big asterisk on my opinion last time that said if charges end up coming out that are horrible, then, you know, good for UConn. But if it turns out to be small shit, it's going to look embarrassing. And it turned out to be small shit, and I think it looks embarrassing. That's
I'm embarrassed.
That's been my default position, and that's where I'm at, whatever, 3 months, like, later.
And it's even one thing to say, like, this really sucks that we're in this position, that we're having to do this to this guy. But to try and justify it like it's the right move, like it's, this is totally kosher, like, that's not. It's not. It's not kosher. It might be necessary, but it's still shitty.
And it better work. If they end up at the end of this having to write a $10 million check to Kevin Ollie, they're going to look like fucking idiots.
Yeah, they will.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't
either. Still am holding out hope that they just meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping they meet in the middle somewhere. Kevin gets his $5 million, maybe spread out over a few years. He goes, coaches in the NBA, has a nice little career for himself. Susan Herbst leaves. Dan Hurley wins. And a few years from now, we're talking about Kevin Ollie's name going on the wall. That's my dream scenario here.
Like, I would like KO to eventually have, like, D-Row status at UConn.
Sure.
Like, that's my ideal.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for our Rapid Response podcast. So
nice work.
Yeah. Not bad, right? That worked out pretty well.
Good job.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. And until next time, we'll see you later.